Now, suburban voters often get a lot of attention during election season. This year's presidential campaign is no different. President Trump has tweeted that he will protect the suburbs and claims his opponent, former Vice President Joe Biden, would abolish them. Our guest has been digging into how the claim is rooted in rule changes made to enforcement of the Fair Housing Act. Tom Dakin is a business reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Tom, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Rob, pleasure to be here.
You recently wrote a piece looking into a lot of elements of the Fair Housing Act and an enforcement change under the Obama administration. Can you give us some of the background on the Fair Housing Act and how it was enforced?
Right. Well, this has its roots in a rule that was issued in 2015 by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development during President Barack Obama's second term. And that rule is known as Affirmatively Furthering Fair Housing, or AFFH, since Washington, D.C. loves putting letters together. It was designed to require communities to more effectively enforce the Fair Housing Act. And that's a law that was passed in 1968. Most people are familiar with it in that it protects you from discrimination based on race, sex, other things when you're seeking to rent or buy a home or obtain a mortgage. But the Fair Housing Act also requires communities that receive HUD community development grants and other funds to take significant actions to overcome historic patterns of racial segregation. And this rule was issued during the Obama administration because previous attempts to enforce that provision of the Fair Housing Act really weren't very effective. Before we had this rule, communities had to do an analysis of barriers to fair housing. But that analysis really didn't involve any kind of review by HUD. And under the new rule, communities that took the money from HUD were required to do more detailed assessments using data provided by HUD on segregated living patterns, racially concentrated areas of poverty, things like that. And the idea was to require those communities to better consider fair housing issues, such as segregation, identify the factors behind those issues, and then establish some fair housing goals. And the agency also would do a review of those community assessments and those goals. And then we had a change of presidents. And under Trump, HUD took a different approach.
Yeah, talk about the changes under the Trump administration to how fair housing rules were enforced.
Well, first of all, in 2018, HUD withdrew a computer tool that local governments were required to use in preparing those assessments. HUD claimed that the tool was hard to use and was producing some unacceptable results. And then in January of this year, the agency said it would revise that rule. It said it would require communities to take what it called concrete steps over a course of 5 years to further fair housing. And would take into account the what it called the unique needs and difficulties of those communities. But then that proposal was revised even further after President Trump questioned whether it would do enough to reduce what he considered to be federal control of local housing decisions. And the new rule issued in July that replaced the Obama-era rule, the new rule called Preserving Community and Housing Choice, simply requires communities to kind of make a general commitment that they use HUD funds to take active steps to promote fair housing. So the requirement of doing these detailed assessments that would be reviewed by the agency, that was gone completely.
So that means no real enforcement then, it sounds like, if I'm hearing you right.
Well, that's certainly what the fair housing advocates who were in favor of the Obama-era rule would claim, and they seem to be claiming it with a fair amount of justification. There don't appear to be any detailed enforcement rules linked to this new rule, and essentially, it does seem to give communities a lot more leeway than they would have otherwise had under the Obama era rule.
We're talking to Tom Dakin, business reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, about the Fair Housing Act, changes in enforcement under the Obama administration, and then kind of back under the Trump administration, and the politics and how this fits into the presidential race. And to that end, Tom, I want to give a listen to President Trump talking to reporters before boarding Marine One on July 31st. Here's some of what he had to say about Fair Housing Act enforcement.
So we ended a rule that was a very horrible rule for people in suburbia, in the suburbs. And that rule has been a very unfair rule for a long time, and it was going to be made a lot worse by Biden and Cory Booker. It's a rule that basically you build low-income housing and you build other forms of housing, also having to do with zoning, and destroy people that have lived in communities in suburbia. For years they've lived there, and they want to destroy their lives and destroy what they have.
So a lot of particular claims here. Under the Obama-era rules, had that happened, the federal government forcing a lot of communities to change their zoning to allow low-income housing in suburban areas?
No, no, it hadn't. Well, the rule, for one thing, was barely enforced before the Obama, or excuse me, the Trump administration came in and changed it. The claims are that, I mean, his suggestion there by Trump essentially is that that rule mandated low-income housing in the suburbs, and that suggestion simply isn't accurate. This has been something that has been fact-checked by numerous organizations. Factcheck.org in particular is one that sticks out. Anybody who wants to read the rule, it's fairly voluminous, will find that it does not impose any kind of land use decisions or zoning laws on local governments. Now, the people who are opposed to the rule do try and make the case that because there was an effort to get communities to do these meaningful assessments of their housing patterns, whether they're segregated, and that those assessments included recommendations to combat that in effect would take away local zoning decision from those communities. That's the argument they make. HUD points out, though, that there's nothing in the rule that requires any changes, that this is simply an attempt to get communities to consider these challenges to segregated housing and figure out ways to remedy that. And in some cases, perhaps that would involve a community concluding that, yes, it should do some type of zoning change. But again, that would be up to the community, not up to HUD to make those decisions.
So here, the president saying this rule would destroy suburbs. He is quoted elsewhere as saying the suburb destruction will end with us, and has accused former Vice President Joe Biden of planning to abolish the suburbs. How have people been reading this as political messaging versus the actual, fine print of the actual laws and rules involved here?
Well, I think the political messaging is pretty apparent, and that comes from the president himself. He posted a July 23rd tweet for what he referred to, quote, the suburban housewives of America, unquote. I think that's pretty apparent who his audience is. And in that tweet, he said, Biden will destroy your neighborhood and your American dream. And it was a reference to this rule change that his administration was unveiling to reverse the Obama administration's rule.
I want to bring this home a little bit. You've written about development in the Milwaukee area a lot over the years, and we know that Milwaukee and other parts of Wisconsin are, by some measure, some of the most segregated in the United States. Has the Fair Housing Act done much in communities like Milwaukee?
Well, arguably within the Milwaukee metropolitan area, and that's really the way that we need to look at this. We need to look at Milwaukee and the communities that are in the same area. I don't think it's done a lot. Certainly enforcement of it is a good thing when it's done too. Obviously, I don't think anybody out there, I would hope, doesn't believe in racial discrimination when it comes to housing. But as you point out, we are still a very racially segregated metropolitan area. And again, the Fair Housing Advocates and the people who favor this rule would argue that the AFFH rule that the Obama administration posted in 2015 was kind of a long overdue step. I mean, the Fair Housing Act was passed in 1968. So this is a rule that's coming basically, what, two generations later. And even that was difficult to enforce because the current administration essentially stripped it away.
And can you talk about maybe some of what led to the creation of this law? There was very overt housing discrimination, right, in many communities as late as the late 1960s. That's part of what led to the original Fair Housing Act, right?
Well, right. The history, of course, including in Milwaukee, is we had a considerable amount of protest against segregated housing, against racial discrimination when it comes to renting and buying homes. And that's what led to that piece of legislation. Really, the last major legislation combating racial discrimination of the 1960s. You would have had the 1964 Civil Rights Act, the 1965 Voting Rights Act, and then Fair Housing Act in 1968. And again, as a tool to enforce against racial desegregation, it's had some positive results. But gosh, I'd point out that as late as 2015, one of the largest HUD-initiated settlements of redlining claims was against Associated Bank in Wisconsin for alleged racial discrimination that the bank did in providing mortgages in Milwaukee and other urban markets. And that was in 2015. Now Associated Bank, in settling that claim, made no admission of wrongdoing, but it did agree to provide a large fund for mortgages and other housing assistance in some of those lower income areas where the discrimination allegedly occurred.
Talking to Tom Dakin, business reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, looking at enforcement changes under the Fair Housing Act in the Obama and Trump administrations and how it's all being used in political messaging, especially to suburban voters. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you one of those suburban voters? What do you think of the president's messages directed to you about enforcement of fair housing laws, anti-discrimination laws, accusations that the president's opponent is working to abolish the suburbs? Have you followed changes in fair housing rules over the years? Were you one of the protesters that Tom had mentioned earlier back in the day? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about changes to fair housing rules at the federal level and how it's all factoring into political messaging in the presidential race. Tom Dakin is with us from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you make of what you hear from the president when it comes to suburban voters and housing policies, his accusations that Joe Biden would abolish the suburbs if elected? Do you have questions about how fair housing policy works, how it's changed in terms of enforcement between the Obama and Trump administrations? If you are watching all this from the suburbs, what do you think? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Was there, Tom, I guess, a constituency among local governments who were saying, hey, the feds are stepping on our toes when it comes to what we could do with housing policy?
I mean, I think there's certainly some opposition to that 2015 Obama administration rule that the Trump administration suspended from people in local governments who felt it was federal overreach, who also felt that the rule would be difficult and expensive for local governments to comply with if they had to do these annual assessments. I think HUD's response to that essentially was twofold. Number one, we're enforcing this rule because you're taking money from us. Okay. I mean, if you take community development block grants and other funds from HUD, I don't think it's completely unreasonable for HUD to expect some review of how you are doing in terms of enforcing the Fair Housing Act. I think the other response from HUD has been to say, look, again, we're not trying to make zoning decisions for you. We're trying to get you to make zoning decisions to the local communities. We're trying to get you to take a good, hard look at your community, whether there are barriers here that exists to having racially integrated housing, and whether some of those barriers do include zoning and land use decisions, and whether perhaps some of those zoning and should be changed. Now, again, I suppose from the perspective of the people opposed to the rule, they would argue that essentially is local control without saying the words local control. But again, the rule doesn't say we're going to make these decisions for you. The rule is simply designed to have these annual assessments and get communities to really think about what they're doing and what they could be doing differently. I would say this, that when the Trump administration rolled out its rule in late July, They call their rule Preserving Community and Neighborhood Choice. It was a 57-page document, and it cited one specific case to back up its claim that HUD had used Fair Housing Act to engage in local control. And that was a decision by the Obama administration HUD to negotiate the settlement of a lawsuit in 2009 that forced Westchester County, New York — this is the county that's just north of the city of New York — to change its zoning laws and pass legislation requiring landlords there to accept tenants using Section 8 housing vouchers. So that's one example in a 57-page document that it cited to back up that claim of overreach. Honestly, you would have thought that if you're going to make a broad claim like that, perhaps you'd have other examples.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Edward is with us in Madison. Edward, hi. Nope, Edward's not there anymore. Edward, for calling in. Let's bring on Steve with us in Sun Prairie. Steve, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You know, it's actually interesting hearing the different political angles on this issue. When, you know, really at the end of the day, the biggest problem facing people of color in certain areas is really job opportunities and learning a skill that can provide life-supporting wages. And, you know, from a discrimination standpoint, sure, there's some discrimination that's out there, but that is not the number one issue facing the community. You have to develop skills that people want to pay for, and then you don't have to worry about the discrimination.
Steve, thanks a lot for the call. At least historically, Tom, a black person and a white person who had the same income couldn't necessarily buy the same house, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And I'm not going to disagree that obviously, whether you're black, white, whatever your race is, having education, having skills in order to have a livelihood, to buy a house where you want or rent an apartment where you want, is important. But that doesn't discount the actual documented discrimination we've seen over the years when we have, for example, testing of landlords, and a fair housing organization will send in a black person, a white person with similar income levels, similar background of education, and they will find often, or at least sometimes, that the apartment is available for the white person, not available for the black person. I mean, you can't ignore the reality of those things. I would also say, frankly, as a white person, I'm not going to get into telling a black person what is or is not the greatest challenges that they face.
Thanks for calling in, Steve, at 800-642-1234. Tom Dakin is with us, business reporter for the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel, talking about the federal Fair Housing Act, discrimination and changes from the Obama administration to the Trump administration and how it gets enforced. Back to your calls. Elizabeth is with us in Lancaster. Elizabeth, hi.
I was listening in and recalling back to my government class back in high school. I know that redlining laws were outlawed in most states because both parties were taking advantage of communities that weren't very diverse. I was curious with the Equal Housing Act and how you mentioned that there isn't very diverse housing, a lot of different people living in Milwaukee. Is it kind of reinforcing redlining laws, even though we can't technically call it that?
Elizabeth, thanks for the call. So, Tom, I think even if there's not active redlining, once it was in place, is it hard, I guess, to get out of that segregated neighborhood?
Well, yeah, let's look at the history here, and I'm glad your caller brought this up. We've had, first of all, redlining. For those not familiar with the term, it has its origins literally in the practice in which maps were drawn with certain areas drawn in red ink in which you would not have loans, home mortgage loans. In the 1930s, when the Fair Housing Administration was created to provide what we now know as mortgage insurance, that, of course, happened under the presidency of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a Democrat, and it was supported in Congress by both Democrats and Republicans. And that redlining occurred for decades before it was essentially outlawed by the Fair Housing Act in 1968. But as I alluded to earlier, as late as Well, 2015 here in Wisconsin with Associated Bank settling the complaint by HUD. And again, I should say Associated Bank admitted to no wrongdoing in settling the complaint, but they did agree to provide a large fund for loans in areas where HUD alleged they had been discriminated against people on the basis of race. So yeah, it's really difficult to unwind decades of discrimination. And it's unfortunately really difficult for Black people to catch up with white people with the well-documented wealth gap that occurs in this country when the home ownership rate among black people is so much lower compared to white people. And that gap is particularly acute in the Milwaukee area.
Thanks for that call, Elizabeth. Tom, in our last minute or so, you wrote a piece, Five Things You Should Know About the Suburban Destruction Claim. What are you watching for next on this policy and as people talk about it during the presidential campaign?
Well, as far as the policy goes, I mean, the rule is the rule. The Trump administration promulgated it in July. And as for now, essentially, communities do not have to do what the Obama administration was requiring them to do. However, communities could still opt to do this if they wanted to. And I believe, for example, the city of Milwaukee, which is in a consortium with some of the communities in the Milwaukee area, I think it's Milwaukee, West Allis, and Wauwatosa, if I remember correctly, I believe they're going to choose to still go ahead and do their assessment of their communities. And when that assessment is produced, it will obviously make for stories by the Journal Sentinel, and I hope other news media as well, as to what they find in their housing patterns and what remedies they suggest to better integrate those communities.
And we'll watch for that. Tom, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Tom Dakin is a business reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He talked with us today about his reporting on changes in federal fair housing rules and how they're factoring into the presidential campaign messaging.